Welcome to iConversations. I'm Laura Fantacci, co-founder of Wardrobe Icons. And for today's bonus podcast episode, we've asked my good friend and editor of Red Magazine, Sarah Tomjak, to interview Petra and I on a subject that feels very relevant at the moment, reality. In a world where our business cards are curated Instagram pages, we really wanted to go behind the scenes and delve into the reality of what it's really like running a business, being partners and balancing work with motherhood and personal lives. And I couldn't think of anyone better to speak to about this than Sarah. I've known Sarah since we've worked together at Red, and one of the qualities I love about her is her realness. As a working mom, she's very open about the challenges of juggling the school drop-off with running a magazine. And throughout our friendship, we have always talked candidly about the hurdles and dilemmas we've both faced in business. Sarah's warmth and relatability is something she brings in both the pages of Red Magazine and every conversation we have, including this one. I hope you enjoy it. Hello, Sarah.
Hello.
And hello, Petra.
Hi.
So I feel like we need to do a little bit of an introduction because it's a bit of a different setup today because Petra and I are being interviewed by my friend and editor of Red Magazine and journalist, Sarah Tomjak. And this happened because one day we were chatting, probably on a Sunday with our kids, and you said to me, oh, I'd love to interview you and Petra on style. At the time, that was the word that you picked.
Yeah,
and I was like, oh, we would love to be interviewed by you on style. And then months went by and we finally managed to make the date. But you've actually changed the word. And you told me over the phone and I was really intrigued because I really liked the new word, and that is reality.
It is. So I kind of feel like the change isn't really a change because obviously all you guys do is talk about style. You know, that's what Wardrobe Icons is. It is about style. We all love it. We love what you talk about. We listen to it every, you know, we listen to the podcast. We read you every day. And what I really want to know is all the behind the scenes stuff because I know you both and I know you very well, Laura. And I think that the Laura and Petra behind the scenes is just as compelling and wonderful and gorgeous. And actually, I think that some of your readers are missing out on that side of you as well. So I thought, how lovely to be able to pull back the curtains and to show them the real Laura and Petra.
God, they're going to be so disappointed. Okay, go on.
But a lot of people say that. We all know that social media, and of course a business, is about presenting the best side of yourselves and the most inspiring side of yourselves. But I think that to create a really rounded impression of someone, you need to see all the other bits as well. And that's why I love you both. And so that's the bit that I want to share today. So I have separated it into life and style. Mm-hmm. We've still got the style in there, don't worry. I had reached out on Instagram and to a bunch of my good friends who I know are Wardrobe Icons fans and said to them, what do you think that you want to know about today? I got hundreds of questions
Did
and it
you?
Was really interesting because a lot of them were the same questions on repeat.
Wow.
So I thought it was really interesting what people really want to know about. Do you want to start with life or style?
You go, Pet.
Okay, let's start with life.
Oh, okay. How nerve-wracking was it giving up your full-time jobs to run a business?
Well, I can go first because mine was fairly straightforward. I was on maternity leave and had already kind of decided not to go back because I was at Look and I felt like it wasn't a platform that I really believed in and it wasn't something that I was desperate to go back to. And I was like, I realized that once I had Jacob that whatever I did next was had to be worth spending the time rather than with him.
And you kind of had a plan B, which probably made it less nerve-wracking because you had your family business and the prospect of working on something that felt yours and you were excited, the farm, you know, with your father. So maybe from a financial perspective also it was less
daunting. Yes, there was no pressure from that point of view.
Whereas for me, I suppose there was the financial aspect that was more daunting because I didn't have a plan B. I did have my blog and it was doing well, but I was also very conscious that it felt like a bit of a bubble and something that I couldn't bank on for the rest of my life because I was taking pictures of myself. So if I'm suddenly not as appealing as I was back then, where were the revenues going to come from? So for me, it was harder, mainly from a financial perspective. It was a bit of a gamble. For me, leaving my job, it was really exciting. Like I remember walking out of Hearst in that Soho building that day with my bags. I've got a photograph of it.
And I was just so excited about my life and what it was going to be. And I knew that I was doing this thing with Petra. It had been going on in the background for a little while. It was pure excitement.
And how did you guys finance the business? I know so many people that want to start their own thing and think, but where do I start?
Well, we got really good advice.
Yes, really good.
So when Lara and I first sat down for meetings for Wardrobe Icons, just to make you laugh, Sarah. We're going to do a shoot a week. And I was like, and a photographer costs, and I was basing it on what we were paying at Look at the time. And Lara's basing her hair and makeup at the time, models, and you know, da, da, da. And so we were like doing the calculations. And I was like, so we need about 70 grand a month just to keep break even.
We don't have that to produce the magazine.
I was like, yeah, that. And then we were like,
maybe not.
Maybe we're overreaching. Anyway, and then I actually got very good advice from someone, and he said, just why don't you just see if you've got a pulse, you know, and then, you know, if you've got a vein and you've got, you know, readers and people interested, that's when you really put money in, you know, that's when you tap it. You have to first make sure that you've got an interest, and then slowly spend money on your project. So it wasn't a case of Lara and I like had all this like money put in. We started with literally the amount that it took to build the website, which we did on a shoestring, really.
Yes. Yeah. So how much was that?
It was £10,000.
Yeah, £10,000.
£10,000 of our own money.
Yeah.
And then we didn't pay ourselves.
Didn't pay some of our contributors.
Didn't pay for some of our contributors for a long time. You know, everyone was willing to contribute. And we had work experience to help out.
We worked from your house.
Worked from my house. I paid for everyone's lunches. Yeah, and that's how we started.
And when you first started seeing revenues, had you set yourself a point of, if we don't really see this amount of money by this time, we probably need to walk away from this?
No, we didn't, because I think Lara and I, in some ways, we were quite like careful. Like, we never spent what we didn't have. We always made sure that if we got someone on board, that we were able to not just pay them for a week, but to at least pay them for several months. Like, on all those levels, we were quite cautious. But the one thing we never did was a business plan. And in fact, we only did a business plan, what, about 4 years ago?
A year ago.
Yeah, a year ago.
Really?
For the next stage, which we can't talk about it yet, but it does need a business plan for reasons that will soon become apparent. But we never had a business plan. It was all there was a vision, but nothing in writing, and ideas, you know, that we'd add to the mix. And but it's all been quite organic. And yeah, I mean, probably the business savvy listeners will be thinking, oh my goodness, these two. But we didn't. We just didn't do that.
And how many people do you employ now?
Well, we're a very lean company.
Aren't we all?
So because of the nature of the website, we don't actually need that many full-time staff. So we, at the moment, we only employ two people full-time. And then everyone else is freelance and comes in 1, 2, 3, 4 days a week, whatever needed. So now I think in total, is there like, what, 12, 13 of us, when like considering everyone from tech to subs?
Yeah, I think about 12.
About 12 of us.
It's pretty impressive.
But we did everything. Obviously, at the beginning, we were retouching images, we were resizing, we were only very recently, I would say in the last kind of 18 months, 2 years, that we've kind of gone from very startup-y mode and also mental startup mode to understanding that to do a better job, we needed people that are solely doing what they're experts at. And we've kind of, you know, pulled back and doing more of the business side of the site as well.
And for a long time, you didn't have an office, and it was at your kitchen table, Petra, wasn't it?
Yes. Well, first we all fit in the office because there's only three of us. Yeah. And then we slowly expanded.
So our office became your kitchen.
Yes. And it got which was great. I mean, it worked for a long time, and it was kept overheads very low. And I was very lucky that I had the home office, and, you know, made it all, it was fine. It did get to the point where I was like literally shoving my children out of the door at 8 o'clock because I had to tidy the house to make it feel more like an office and less like a home.
Yeah. Whilst all of that was happening, remember, we also had two more kids each.
Yeah.
As in, no, one more each. So I remember the time that you were on maternity leave, which was probably the last stretch that we actually worked from the office. So Petra was on maternity leave, and everyone had to work from my house, which is much smaller. I did have an office, but we were crammed in there. I had a baby. And to go to the office, you had to walk past my baby's room and maybe she was napping. I remember having this day a couple of months before you came back, just saying, this is not good enough. It's been amazing up to now. And all of a sudden, almost overnight, it wasn't. You know, I mean, I was breastfeeding at my desk. I had my baby coming in, you know, to, you know, do its business. And then when it became intruding in their space, exactly the same feeling that you had, it was just too, and there was too many of us, we just couldn't fit it. And having an office has completely changed the dynamic. It's made this business, in my mind, more real.
Now, my next question, I think that you both appear very swan-like in your running of a business, because we see these very glossy photo shoots of you, we see pictures of you wafting around in Turkey or at some amazing party, and I know that that is not not the reality. Let us inside, tell us what a real day looks like. What stuff are you both juggling? What hours are you working? Do you get back home and finish working once the kids are in bed? What's the other stuff we don't see?
Well, I have to say, Petra, really, you're not a swan. Like, you just manage it so well. Like, I think so much better than I do. So what you see with Pet is actually, in my opinion, what you get. Like, she's very good at managing things that come her way, that you're just a natural at that. I feel like I'm the one with the drama all the time. There's always something going on, whether it's a nanny leaving, whether it's like some, you know, problem at home, whether it's like, there's always something. And actually, I feel guilty about that because you don't really have that so much. Sometimes I want to ask you that question, like, how the hell do you never have like a bit of a moment like I do?
I know. I think, I don't know, really. I was thinking about this the other day because I was like, why? I think I just deal with stress in a different way. Like, I did have a moment the other day when you weren't in and I was getting like 500 questions and I just really wanted to crack on with the gift guide. Really, I love the gift guide. And I just wanted to focus on doing the gift guide, but I felt like I had so many other things that I had to do first. And I got that slight feeling of like, oh, there's not enough time in the day and I need to leave by 5 because I've got to be home for the kids. And I've got the kids on my own this weekend, so I haven't got time this weekend to do it. And I just sort of went, I just stopped myself and I was like, no, focus, do one thing at a time, you'll get through it, just get on with it. And
you're very good at prioritizing.
Well, there's a gift. Things that have to be done first, and I do those first, and then whatever gets time has done.
I think you're very pragmatic and ordered. I think you're less kind of highly strung and emotional with things.
Yeah,
I think that really helps.
But also, I'm not a perfectionist.
Yeah,
and
actually,
that helps.
Yes, that helps,
because I'm just like, it's okay.
It's okay.
It'll be fine.
Yeah.
It's but it's okay. But then also, I know I've got the bow bringer who will check my work and go, oh, actually, I think this needs a little bit of this and this needs a little bit of that. So I suppose that pressure is taken off me.
So you say it's good enough for me. I'll move it on for Laura and she can stress over it. Yeah.
Yes, but it's not like I go in and it's like a pile of crap, you know. It's pretty good. So you're not a perfectionist, okay, but you equally don't like do things just a bit like, what's the word in English? Like slapdash.
Yeah. And who wears which hats within the business? Do you have certain areas that you are really responsible for, or do you manage and share everything?
Yeah, we do, but actually it's not really, we haven't like planned it, or it's kind of, again, happened quite organically. Like, we started, we're co-founders, we're co-owners, it's all shared, but gradually with time, I think we've identified the areas where we're better at, the ones where maybe we need a little bit of support, and kind of complement each other in that way. So, you know, I think I am maybe more of the on the creative side ever so slightly. So I will, you know, approve the final pages, the content, and Petra very much looks after the office running and the flow of what needs to happen. She's really good at that. But then we equally manage staff.
So it's not like I go, oh, well, that's Laura's job. No. I'm not getting involved in it. And I feel equally with Laura. Yeah. She's not like, oh, Petra deals with, you know, I don't know, paying people. Like, that's her problem. Like, I do feel like if we need each other and we go, actually, no, I can't do this. Can you do that? Like,
Do you know what we do? Sometimes we'll go, can you do that? I'll do that. And we just take ownership. So for instance, there are a couple of things, there are branches within the business that we are responsible of. So, you know, I'm doing this new project. Petra's also heading a new project. But we've just kind of, do you want to do it? I'll do it. It's just quite, I know it sounds like it's ideal, but it really does happen that way. Like there's no real arguing or bitterness behind it. There's so much to do, to be honest. I think that sometimes
there's more than enough to take on.
That's more than enough.
So when there are things that you disagree on or that one of you might be feeling frustrated about, how do you voice that? How do you give each other feedback on each other, or do you hold on to things, or are you quite confrontational quite quickly? How do you manage those kind of things?
I need to talk about things. If something is bothering me, I will take time to analyze why. So I try not to be impulsive, because I think that is what usually turns a conversation into an argument. So whenever there's something that's bothering me, I'll just bring it up in the nicest possible way after having given it a bit of thought on how I am going to voice it. So there's been times, and then when we talk about it, it's usually already just voicing that concern or that worry or that frustration already unties things a little bit. And, you know, I think on the receiving end, if you've got someone that's willing to listen and not maybe, you know, answer straight away and have a think about, then you work through things. And I think we've had a little bit of that.
Bit like a marriage. Like when you start out, you're sort of, well, I was definitely a lot more like, oh, you know, Lara's can be quite direct and like, you know, she and I appreciate that. I much prefer that to someone who is unhappy but won't tell me why they're unhappy and I have to somehow unravel it. Like I can't be bothered. I don't have time for that. Mm. But I wasn't someone who maybe initially would voice my, you know, concerns. I would sort of like think, you know, see first if I could sort it out, and if I really couldn't, then I would go to Lara with it. But I think now we've got such a way, we understand how the other person thinks and how the other person works, that I don't feel so scared anymore of bringing up things that bother me or like, you know, or, you know, if Lara says something, I don't feel like I can't say, well, you know, this is why this is like this and this is why like this is like this. So, you know, whereas before I'd sort of take it all, oh, it's my fault, and you know, take it more personally. But and I think we've definitely grown and with the business, which is great. So at first it was very much like homespun. As the business has got bigger and we've had to make bigger decisions and we've had more staff to manage and all those things, then we've also developed our relationship and our communication, because we've had to.
What would you say have been the toughest moments in Wardrobe Icon so far?
I think managing what the success of it. It's not, there isn't a particular moment, but it's constantly at the back of your mind, what's it going to be? Or what does it have to be? What is it supposed to be? That's the pressure that comes with that, is the ongoing question that kind of breeds at the back of your mind. And that is tough to manage, because you live in a society where your business, you're being judged, you're being weighed, and you're being deemed as successful or not on the basis of it. And I think that is something that I find from time to time, you know, when it kind of becomes apparent, that's the part that I find toughest.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me as well, yeah, it's I just love it. I love doing it. I love every issue. I love working with Lara. I love my team. I even love our office with stinky corridors. I love all of it. I just don't find it hard. I just it's a joy. It really is.
How many people can say that about their jobs?
I know.
It's pretty impressive.
But I think it's also got to do with the fact that we have never aimed too high, and we're kind of happy with that. And I think that goes alongside the fact that we're also mothers. I know that, you know, but
we're about to come on to that.
It's not something that we cannot mention. Yeah. You know, it's got to live alongside that role.
Okay, so this is the question I got asked most out of all the questions.
Oh, wow.
What childcare do they have?
Well, gosh, mine is so, I don't even know how to define my childcare.
Come on, tell us, because this is, we want to see behind the scenes.
Well, at the moment, I have my cousin living with me, who I am housing because she's doing a master's. I have my sister living with me because she has a job that doesn't pay enough for her to lead her slightly, I would say, comfortable Notting Hill or borders of Notting Hill life. And so I have free childcare in return in the evenings from my sister, and I have 2 days of pickup from my cousin who doesn't do her course in the afternoon. And then I have a pickup nanny 3 hours a day on 2 days. And that is it.
And that is it. Petro?
I have a wonderful nanny. And she's in from 8 in the morning until 6. And I do not know how Laura juggles it without one. Because there just isn't enough hours in the day.
And are either of your husbands involved in the pickup, get ready for school routines as well?
Yeah. My husband does every drop-off for my oldest every morning because she goes to school a bit earlier, and that means that he can drop her off and get to work on time, whereas I drop off my youngest daughter at nursery, who goes in at 9, and then my office is very luckily very close to her school, so I can just be at work at 9:30 on the dot. So we do the morning routine, which is mayhem, and it's such a stress.
Well, this brings me on to the second most asked question. What is their morning routine? So break it down for me from the moment you wake up to the moment you sit down in your office.
I wish, like for me, I wish I was one of, it would be so much more relaxed if I got up at 5, did a bit of meditation.
Oh, I know, I'd love to be one of those people.
You know, do, I don't know, like a run in the park so that I get energized and then have a juice of some sort. But I'm not a morning person. So I literally get up at 7:30, probably my alarm, actually not even an alarm, like my husband, like vibrating watch goes off at about 7. He snoozes it instead of getting up. Brain switches on. I get up, I get dressed between 7 and 7:30. I go downstairs.
At what point do you plan what you're going to wear for the day?
Oh no, completely.
You go into your wardrobe and pull something out then and there.
Yeah, but that is the easy part because of this kind of great functioning wardrobe that we've built through, you know, the years. And I'm always, you know, in the winter I'm always cold, so it's got to be something. I can't make the decision based on what I want to wear. It's got to be based on the weather as well, because in the UK you can't just make that sort of plan. And then I go downstairs, I make breakfast for my oldest, who's dressing by herself. I had to tell her in year one, I said, I love you, but you're going to have to get dressed in the morning, and you're going to have to pack your bag in the evening, and everything has to be downstairs the evening before, because I haven't got enough hours in the day to also be doing that. So she's very good. She's 7, but she gets washed, comes downstairs. The only thing I do for her is make her breakfast and tie her hair, because I'm terrified of head lice. So I will not let her do her
this
hair.
This is the reality, people.
This is the reality. So I make her breakfast. Meanwhile, my husband has got up and he's dressing Vera, who's my second. She comes downstairs. I give her her bottle. She's 3. She still has a bottle. And I'm going to keep it that way because it saves me time from making breakfast. I have breakfast with them. I make lunch for my for Vera, which, by the way, I'm very particular about. I won't just make a sandwich every day. I will go and make fresh broccoli with lentils and couscous.
And you do all that in the morning?
I do that in the morning. Very rarely do we have leftovers from the night before, so I just have to. I mean, I've got staples, easy enough, but healthy. That's really important to me. So I make her lunch. And then I would say about 8:15, my husband and Greta leave the door, and I've got about 15 minutes to finish anything I need to do in terms of like makeup, brush teeth.
When did you shower?
Oh, I shower in the evening. Yes.
See, that's a good hack.
Yes.
A lot of people
I can't,
say, I can't either.
I have to shower
but
in the
I know
morning.
That about you, Laura. I find that
I
fascinating.
Can't.
That is a good time saver.
It's a good
if
time
saver. You can tolerate
and
it.
In the evening, actually, it's that me time, that very rare and so nurtured and appreciated me time, that shower or bath, actually, in the evening. It kind of washes away the stresses of the day. I don't watch TV at night ever. I just can't. It just wires me. So after dinner, I'll go upstairs, I'll potter in the bathroom, I'll put a bath oil, magnesium salts, or whatever remedy I've been told will cure my anxieties. And I go to bed and read a book. In the morning, I'm like a cat. I literally can barely wash my face. Just touching the water in the morning makes me cold, and I hate it. So that's something I always do at night.
Whereas I have to get like showered in the morning and
fresh,
makes me feel awake. And then I'm much more of a like throw myself in the shower at the same time, like throwing clothes on the kids. Sometimes if I can, I'll fit in a run in the morning. I mean, my mornings are so chaotic. Like there
what time
is no
are you getting up?
Anything between 7 and 7:30.
Okay.
But you know, when I say go for a run, it's like half an hour. But then because I'm lucky because Valeria comes in at 8. So I know whatever I didn't manage to to do, she'll be able to finish off.
But what do you have to do between 7 and 8? What time do the kids get up?
The kids get up between 7, 7:30.
So do you dress them and give them breakfast?
Yes, I try to.
And then she takes over?
Yes.
What time do you have to leave the house to take them to school?
8:30.
Do you do that?
No, Valeria does that.
Valeria does that.
If I've got time, I'll drop them off at school. Sometimes if I've managed to get myself dressed and ready, then I'll get everyone in the car and I'll drop them off and then I'll go to work. But it just depends on how busy
because
I am.
You also have to drive to work, which yes. takes a... Because our office is closer to my house, so my commute is, you know...
You don't walk, you drive there, don't you?
No, I now walk.
Oh, do you?
I now walk.
There's the exercise.
There's the exercise.
Because you don't really work out very much, do you? That's something else that's...
Very much? Do you know me at all?
I'm being generous.
Okay. I don't. I tried, and I think maybe I'm just one of those odd people that maybe exercise doesn't work for me. Like, it makes me feel sick. It actually makes me feel like I tried to do a personal trainer because I thought maybe.
Remember this.
Do you remember when I was sick in the park?
Yeah. With like the one time you did the personal trainer.
Yes, the one time. It just doesn't work for me. Although I have recently started doing yoga with a friend, with a dear friend, and my sister. And I think just because it's my friend and it's not a client at her house, and she burns Palo Alto, and then we have dinner.
Didn't you have
Andrea.
Chocolate afterwards as well?
We have chocolate afterwards. That kind of, it doesn't feel like exercise. It feels like meditation.
Yeah, and a lovely stretch at the end of the day.
Yeah. And it's with my sister, who I love. Hi, Vito. I've ticked all the boxes. I don't exercise. So that walk is quite essential.
How easy do you find it to be present with your kids?
I'm really bad because I cannot bear an email in my inbox unread. So I will always check my phone when I know I shouldn't. I'm trying to be more conscious of that. And I try to, when I come home in the evening, leave it in my handbag and then check it once they've gone to bed. I always check it on holidays. I'm really bad where that's concerned. And I do worry that my kids will one day go, yeah, I mean, my mum's great, but
she was always kind of there, but
she won't always give us her full attention.
I think that my problem comes from the fact of having two rather than work. Like, I find that they are at an age now where they're competing for my attention. So it's not so much that I've got work things to do because I think I go back home and I'm pretty much off because I just can't afford not to be. But they are both quite needy of my attention. So I think it's easier at the weekend when either my husband or I can spare a little bit of time and attention solely on one of them, because that's what I feel is like really good quality time for them.
Okay, so this is going to be my last question on motherhood.
Yeah.
What element of motherhood do you think you're doing really well, and what's the one thing you wish you could improve on?
I wish... Okay, first I can say what I can really improve on is I really want to be more patient. I have got I'm an incredibly, I think, quite patient person in real life, but with my children, I'm so like, come on, just get on with it. Why does everything take so long?
Like, you can't take that moment and breathe the same way you can in the office when you have so much on your plate.
I know. I don't know what it is. They just have this like way of just irritating me so much that it takes so long to do anything, or they don't answer my questions straight away. You know, it's like, Jacob, what do you want for breakfast? What would you like for breakfast? What would you like for breakfast? What would you like for breakfast? Can you please tell me? It's so annoying. So I wish I had more patience, because I think that really is a virtue with children, and it makes a massive difference to them. And I can see my husband's a lot more patient with them than he is in real life, and that makes they definitely prefer, you know, doing homework with him and bedtime and all that sort of stuff. What am I doing well? I think I'm doing well at being a fulfilled person, and I think that's really important for children to see, that you can be a working mum. If you're happy in yourself, then I think your home environment is happy, because I'm not resentful. I don't feel that I try not to do the mum guilt thing too much. You know, I feel like I'm with my children as much as I can be. I take holidays as much as I can, a lot more than if I'd worked for someone else. I'm fulfilled in my job, you know. And so I think hopefully they'll see someone who is a rounded individual on some level, and that will hopefully help them when they come to having careers and children of their own to feel like they can be a working parent and not feel the guilt of abandonment, which I think we all feel as parents from time to time.
Yeah, I think that's a great answer.
I'm going to be terribly unoriginal, but the patient thing, it would be the same thing for me, exactly like what you said about the husband. And I think I'm so guilty of that. And my children will say to me, "Mummy, you're the best mummy in the world, except when you shout at me," you know.
And you shout when you're impatient.
I will lose my temper. And I can tell, and that really upsets me, that they get scared because it's not the normal self. I'll raise my voice, I'll become, you know, frustrated. And I wish every time I do that. But I do apologize, something that my parents never did with me. And I think that's because I want them to understand that we are humans and that we make mistakes, and that as long as you can own up to it by apologizing, telling them that you understand, you know, what's right from wrong, I think that's a good example. So even though I do that, they know that I will apologize the same way I would expect them to apologize to me or to someone else. The one thing that I think I'm doing right and I'm paying so much attention to doing is looking at both my daughters as individuals and really catering for their personality and really fine-tuning to the person that they are. So I really look at each of their personalities and think of what they need. What are the nuances of their characters that I can make sure I fulfill and pay attention to and really cater for that? So really fine-tuning to them is what I think I'm good at, hopefully.
I think you do that really well.
Okay. Thank you.
Style. Talk me through your style evolution. And I mean that from when you were a little girl and your mum used to dress you.
Yeah.
Who was your style crush at that time? At what age were you allowed to wear what you wanted to wear?
Yeah.
And what was a normal outfit? What would be your kind of...
I was super girly. Like, my mum pulls out these pictures of me with a combination of hairband, somehow side ponytails and a back ponytail, all decorated with clips, maybe like a bit of a hot pant with a belt and a bag, and managed to put like a leotard in there and a cape, you know?
Wow. So, how old are you at this age?
Oh my God. 4, 5 maybe? Yeah. I've always enjoyed dressing up. And from the time I was like at nursery, there was a chest at nursery where I was at, like a, you know, like a treasure chest. And it was filled with old 90s from the 80s with like bows and, you know, those kind of satin sheeny awful with like fake lace. And I remember that there was one that was my favorite and no one was allowed to wear it. Even though I was 3.
Nothing's changed.
It was blue. It was baby blue. I just kind of came to my mind.
Petra, how about you?
Well, my mum always says that I was born 40. So I think I've always had like a slightly older person's taste. And I remember my mum with my middle sister saying, "I could always let you go roam free on the department store and pick things because
she'd always get something appropriate."
Quite sensible. And whereas my sister would like gravitate towards the faux fur and the feathers and anything with the sequin. I've never been an ostentatious dresser. I've always been quite pared down. There's a lot of pictures for me where it's like you couldn't really tell if I'm a boy or a girl because it's like, you know, always a jean and a, you know, jumper and, you know, quite sensible. But then I would like go through phases of liking a big bow in my hair, which I think is kind of how I dress now. It's quite similar. Like, I'm usually quite pared back, but every now and again I'll just be like, throw caution to the wind and just add a wild accessory or go for a fun print.
I went through quite a glamorous phase in my early 20s, and there's this one picture which I've been telling Petra I need to bring it into the office, where J-Lo was my
I know, was your inspo.
J-Lo in her like Versace palm print days.
Yes.
Kind of look. So, you know, the cleavage and the tan and the kind of like hair with a back combing and a lot of like highlighter.
Bronzer.
She was like I wanted to be her. And at my sister's 18th birthday, I pretty much emulated one of those looks with a very deep V. I don't know how my boobs were staying up at that point. I mean, I really don't. But there is photographic evidence of my more kind of glamorous days. I think living in the UK has tuned me, like made my style a lot more.
It sounds very Italian now.
Yeah. But I have to be careful because I look Italian. Because less is more on me. Let's put it that way. There is that.
There is a tendency to occasionally, you know, like... there's, you know, the hoop or the, you know, the a little bit glitzy, a little bit glam.
Yeah, my Italian newsreader, which I call it my Italian newsreader look. You look, have you ever looked at the news in Italy? I was recently in Italy looking at TV, which is atrocious. But yeah, it's that kind of lip liner, big hair, a bit of a shoulder, too much cleavage.
And you secretly gravitate towards
no,
that.
No, not anymore. But I did. In my 20s, I
Once
did.
Upon a yeah. time. Is there something that you both wish you could wear but you can't?
Anything with little straps that don't require bra, because I can't not wear a bra. Like my, you know, I've got a 34D bra, and you know, I look at like beautiful bikinis and like little dresses with straps or backless dresses. I wish I could, but I just cannot wear them. Yeah.
Petra.
Anything cut on the bias. Not my friend.
Not a friend. What's the one item of clothing you both own that you don't really want us to know about?
We don't want to know about. Yeah. I don't know if there is one.
What do you put on when you get home after a long day at work?
We've had this discussion. I know.
It saddens me what you're going to say, but people do want to know.
Do you know what? I believe I don't get home and put heels on. I put slippers on. But I think it's so easy to make a stylist choice in every department. So why does it have to be an ugly, I don't know, plastic, you know, furry unicorn shaped, you know,
onesie.
Yeah. Why can't it be a
You'd
nice...
You'd never go home and put on some fleecy jogging
no,
bottoms, though,
I
would
don't
you?
Own a fleecy jogging. No. Because I think that there is a saying in Italian, comodo ma carino, okay? And that means comfortable, but nice. So when I'm making that choice, when I'm thinking, I want to be comfortable, I want a pair of, like, comfortable joggers, but I'd rather save up, you can buy cashmere joggers now on the high street, for something that still makes me feel like I could be, you know, on the street, you know, picking up my daughter and still look polished.
I kept my maternity bras a lot longer than I should have done.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There was something about that really lovely, like, non-underwired, that sometimes in the evening I would just slip on a maternity bra for the sheer comfort.
What, the one with the clickies?
Yes, really.
Yeah. I still have mine, actually.
I only threw mine out about a year ago, and my youngest daughter's 4.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
What am I still doing?
That's
this
a much
glamorous.
Better answer. I wish I could have said that.
How's your style changed since having kids?
I get that question a lot, and I don't think it's changed because I'm a mom. I just think it's changed because I'm getting older, and I feel like there's certain parts of my body that I like less, perhaps. So I feel like I've been wearing a lot of longer lengths. Like when I was younger, I just felt comfortable showing off my legs and wearing
you're
shorter things.
Not a fan of shorts, are you?
I'm not a fan of shorts, no. But it's not because I...
You used to have denim shorts.
I do have denim shorts, but they're like slightly high-waisted and a little bit longer. I mean, I don't wear hot pants. Mm. I think it's longer lengths, definitely. I feel more comfortable. I feel like I can get more done. I don't have to worry about, you know, my bum showing. And also, it's probably got to do with the fact that I don't have to wear high heels. Because anything short, I'd probably want to elongate my legs a little bit. If I'm wearing it long, it doesn't really matter. And, you know, not wearing heels is wearing flat shoes. It's essentials when you're walking your child to school.
So do you wear a lot less heels
yes,
now?
Yes, a lot less, yeah.
I don't think my style's changed much because I was always a fan of a flat boot and, you know, a good pair of jeans. But I am more conscious of when I'm spending time just with the kids. I won't maybe wear my best things, you know, it will be the things that are sort of like medium best because I'm scared of them. I don't want to be like, oh, you can't, my mum used to always be like, oh, you can't hug, you know, don't come near me because you've got sticky fingers and you're going to ruin this. And I don't want to be like that. I don't care that, you know, they run their peanut butter hands through my hair. And, you know, I want to be relaxed. And I feel like if I'm wearing my best, nicest things that I'm going to panic if they touch them or get upset about, you know, I don't want to get upset about my clothes. And so I try and keep my very best things to one side.
I sometimes feel I have a style clash with my kids because they wear their nicer things at the weekend because obviously they're in school clothes all during the week. And then at the weekends, I want to relax and wear my sort of more casual things. And I sometimes feel a bit disappointed that we're never quite in style sync. This is the last question, ladies.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us one thing you covet and one thing you would never wear from each other's wardrobes.
Ah. Well, from each other's wardrobes.
Each other's wardrobes.
Well, actually, Petra is wearing one of the things that I covet today. I wish I bought that for myself. So Petra's wearing a black, wide Valentino belt. It's like a black leather belt with a big V. And I bought that for her in Paris when I was there for the shows last season. Because it was just, I mean, I didn't buy her as a present. I said, I'm in Valentino. There is this belt that I love, that I think you're going to love. And I think as an extension of, it's almost like I own her, but I don't. She has. That's what I love.
Oh, your Chanel bag.
Really?
Yeah, that's the one thing I really, that and those glittery Miu Miu's.
Really?
Which actually you should sell to me because you never wear them.
We could swap.
No, you're not getting the Valentino belt.
Do you remember when I bought that Burberry cap?
Oh, for the shoot?
Yes. And you were like,
I know, this is typical Lara. I get a text saying, the things that we've ordered from Browns hasn't arrived for the shoot. And I'm like, right. And I'm like, well, I'm sure it'll be there soon. But, you know, even so, it was only like four things. I mean, I'm sure. She was like, there was a Burberry cap in there, a check one, and a checked umbrella. And I was like, okay. And she's like, and it really makes my outfit. I'm like, well, I'm sure it'll be there. Hope it'll be there tomorrow for shoot. Anyway. Turns up, all fine, get on the shoot. Then she's like trying to palm off the Burberry cap onto me. You wear it. I'm like, no, I don't want to wear stupid Burberry cap. You wear it. You ordered it. It makes your outfit. I had a call about it at 10 o'clock at night. So you wear it. So yeah, but you don't own that.
Why did you change your mind?
Because I think that Petra's so much prettier. And it just, the cap on me does not look good. And I thought, maybe a beauty shot of Petro with the cap will look better than it does on me. I don't think I'm selling this cap. So I think it was a compliment because I think
it's
pretty.
A chic cap. It's a chic cap, but it's not something that I would necessarily want to buy. And also, I didn't order it. I didn't want a part of my looks for the shoot.
That's amazing. Thank you so much, ladies. I feel like we've all learned a lot more about you. Thank you for letting us behind the scenes.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you, Sarah. I really felt that today's conversation brought us closer together and highlighted the fact that we all have hopes and dreams. And even though it might not always be obvious, we all have the same insecurities and struggles trying to make them come true. And thanks for listening to iConversations. Turns out, talking never goes out of fashion. You can find more episodes of these insightful conversations with the women who inspire us on Apple Podcasts. Please rate, review, and subscribe. It really helps to get the word out.